Okay, what are you doing this time?
Gary, I made a long-time dream come true. I bought a pizzeria.
Oh, hey!
It's mostly so I can throw a bunch of dough around. That's more for my employees. I'm more of a money captain kind of boss.
Sure.
Yeah.
We should make a man out of pizza filled with pizza ingredients and name it Calvin Zone.
Okay. Yeah. Like, you know, we try and bake him, but the oven was magic and we didn't know it.
The oven was set to the proper temperature and we eat a delicious man-sized calzone.
Okay.
You know, we just name our food first because we're not fucking barbarians.
You are describing a minor gag in a Nathan For You episode where he's trying to get a travel agency to start funeral home stuff. And like, he doesn't want to, you know, they can't afford a real crematorium, like a real furnace for that. So he's trying to test if a pizza oven will work, and he makes a pizza man.
Okay. Mine would just be for a lot of calzone.
Yeah.
Like a network-wide calzone.
Mm. Yeah. All of us start at one end and eventually meet in the middle.
Yeah. And like you do like a Vitruvian calzone.
Yep.
And we can have one for every host.
A biblically accurate calzone.
Yeah. I love a Vitruvian calzone.
Yeah. So what I've done is I've written a bunch of names of video games on the top of the inside of these pizza boxes. Mm-hmm. And I've gone around town annoying a bunch of kids and shouting out my address. And sure. my hope is that some of these pranksters will order a bunch of pizzas from my pizzeria to us. And we can open up whatever's on the top. We can see what's there, and we can then enjoy the pizzas, have a little party. It's all in good fun.
That's such a like bygone yesteryear prank.
Uh-huh.
Like with cash on delivery no longer being a thing for anything.
Yeah.
You know, it's sad.
Mm-hmm.
But this sketch takes place in 1998.
It does. Yeah. I am 12 years old. When had
appropriate music. Okay. Yeah. Let's hope one of those kids pranks us good.
Okay, yeah. All right, doorbell, here we go. Thank you. I don't have to tip you. You're my worker. All right.
1998.
Yeah.
Here's $1. Go fucking buy Adele.
Gary, oh no. All these pizzas are smashed. We're not going to be able to... we're not going to eat these, and we're not going to be able to see what's on the roof of the boxes.
I've got a scraping tool.
Okay.
Let me scrape.
All right.
And we can reuse this. Like, just take this back to the place.
Yeah.
Put this in the man calzone.
We can shred it up for a new item. Pizza hash. Yeah.
Yeah, pizza. I don't know. Like, we're not desperate yet. It's 1998. We're going to invent a lot of shit. We have a time machine now. Look, it says Yonoi 2, Into the Void.
This didn't come out until 2017. What are we doing?
They have a time machine, too. Gary Butterfield, he, him.
My name is Kay Ross, she, her.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering, and I'll have my Depeche a la mode, please.
And this week...
Stupid. <don't>
Doesn't have anything to do with us.
I mean, he's pretty tolerant.
Dump it. God, I get so much use out of dump it.
Dump it's real good.
Yeah. This was almost a poll winner. It was tied. We had to make a call, and then some last minute votes came in.
Yeah. Well.
Oh well.
Yes.
Yeah. We're talking about Yonoi 2, which was made for a Waypoint game jam. It was like a 1 month game jam by a small team as a kind of sequel to the Yonoid game, which we've already talked about. You can go back and hear us talk about the Yonoid game, which is fine.
It's pretty good. Capcom platformer.
Yeah.
Like it is not bad by any means.
No.
A perfectly cromulent 7 out of 10 NES game. Mm-hmm. And largely because the Noid theming is, you know, bolted on.
Yeah, it's superfluous. Nothing really to do with smashing pizzas. Same here. This is asking, what if Yonoid got a next-gen platformer made out of it, like a 3D platformer? If the original version of this has like the CRT scan lines and the PS1 shader kind of stuff to it.
It's kind of that plus kind of Sonic Dreams Collection or Bugsy Goes to the Tyrell.
That's a... That is at least the setup or the, you know, the premise here.
Yeah. It's something where before I knew the origin of it, mm-hmm. you know, I was a little bit disappointed because I was comparing it to better versions of that.
Yes.
You know, like this is relatively fun and relatively funny, mm-hmm. you know, not bad by any means in terms of like comedy games, mm-hmm. you know, it's fine. But then once you get to the jokes are pretty fun. But it's no Bubsy 3D, you know, it's no Sonic Dreams, and it's because it's made in 1 month.
Yeah, you're not gonna come at the Arcane Kids, right?
Yeah, come at the Arcane King.
Mm.
Yeah.
Better not miss. He has a house with 1,000 snakes.
They want you to get to this turn in this. Mm-hmm. It begins with a remake of the first level of the NES game, but in 3D.
Yeah,
with wall running and wall jumping and stuff, and the checkpointing is exceedingly generous.
Yeah,
they want you to get to the end where you get to the turn and you go into the Noid Void. And I like the idea of the Noid Void, you know, and you can go through like kind of platformer levels, and it's funny. You're in the Noid Void. The Noid Void is great. Some of the dialogue is funny as you talk to pizza ingredients. Did you get to the glitching ingredients?
Yeah, I found one of the glitching ingredients like in the core of the first world.
Yeah. Like there's a tomato and he's like, you know, everything is not as it seems.
Yeah.
Everything glitches towards it. And I just had a moment of like a mild exhaustion.
Yeah.
I feel bad about it. You know, I don't want to like put on armor to fight something harmless, but like, I've just seen a lot of this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh no, it's a game. Our world is not real. It is made up of triangles. It is a simulation of a world we will never know.
Yeah.
This might have been a little bit fresher even in 2017, but like that was already like we had a version by that point.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm not going to hold it against somebody if they don't make the first iteration of a thing. It is fine to try a variation on something that's already done before. But like by then, maybe it would be a little bit like, oh, yeah, it's one of these. And now it's like, yeah, this trick. There's no juice left. It's completely dry.
Even if it's super fresh at the time it came out, it just kind of how it impacted me.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I would have laughed more and been more blown away if I hadn't seen some of that stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I also have like a mild chip on my shoulder because there's a dab button. And that's also very 2017. And also, like, I like the Waypoint crew, but it's something I don't like about them. They seem to think that dabbing's real funny.
Yeah.
I don't get it. It's not for me. I don't, you know. Yeah, you can dab. You can press a button and dab. And like, oh, there's a button to dab.
Yeah.
I get it. You know, again, like I'm not, this, I know this is making me sound like fucking the least fun person in the world, but I just didn't think it was funny.
Yeah. It's not enough. Right.
Yeah.
It's just like, this is a little joke you would put in to immediately date this and make it very clearly part of a jam. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Little Fortnite lobby dance. Kind of energy of a thing. And it just, there's something about that that just like, so it's cool and it plays fine. Like it was kind of like an okay grappling hook platformer at times.
No, I thought awkward, it played good. I liked the wall kick and the wall run and stuff like that. It was, like I didn't beat this because it's longer than you think it's going to be. Like there are three levels. I got into the pyramid, like the Domino's tomb or whatever. And it was just a little bit too like, this is basically puzzle stuff. And I've got other stuff to do today before I record. So like I played a lot of this, but not to completion.
It's puzzle stuff and it's speedrunner stuff.
Yes.
Like on the official website, there's a real race your Noid where you can compare. Things. And like the idea of the Noid Void and then going up to the Noid Roid and stuff, like I'm not made of stone.
Yeah.
Like that's pretty fun. I like a big vaporwave triangle noid zone, and I like the noid.
Mm-hmm. All of this, great. each and every one of these, each and every one of these individual things is good on its own.
Yeah.
And, you know, it is not a crime to play, right? No, so
it's pretty good. Yeah. Free game. You know, it starts off with I was real worried in the beginning because it starts off with a cutscene with a live action fat noid.
Yeah.
Losing his yo-yo and stuff. And I had a real like, oh no, we're in the Zombotatoes realm for a moment like that. And I was just like, oh,
Better than that. It feels a little bit like they were trying to get some of that Pepsi Man kind of heat on it.
A little bit.
Kind of a similar vibe. He's just like, he's out on like a city street in front of like a juice place.
Yeah. And you know, one of the worst discourses you could start, Pepsi Man, fatphobic.
Yep.
Somebody could probably make that argument.
It's not
Will you entertain it? The time is ticking.
It's not
you have a number of minutes left.
Pick a side. Yep. Do you want to get into heaven? Pick a side.
Yeah, pick a side. the noid doesn't understand social cues. Do you want to do something with that? Pick a side.
Oh my god. Yeah. So a little bit of a worry there. That is the like even at the end there is not a reprise of the FMV thing. Mm-hmm. Like the ending also is playing in. So this was commenting on like a thing that was happening, which is Domino's had a partnership with Hatsune Miku to be like a new mascot or something like for a campaign. And this is the whole thing about this is like the noid being dead and trying to come to terms with the fact that the noid is being replaced.
Yes. A lot of things to date this.
Yeah.
Games, you know, plot with the based on Hatsune Miku. That was in 2013 when Domino's was taking on Hatsune Miku.
Yeah.
The VR creature.
What?
Like, what? That's a VR creature?
As right? A Vocaloid is what Hatsune Miku is.
Yeah, like a software that is but it's a personality too. People fall in love with this thing and wife it.
Yeah, it's a like it is a Vocaloid that has a persona. It is like a VR it's like an AR pop idol that can be infinitely exploited because it's just NG software.
A little bit.
Yeah. Is that Cyberpunk or is that
Deus Ex 2?
That's Deus Ex 2. Okay.
Yeah. Like VTuber shit, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But with an AI.
Yeah.
Perhaps. I don't know.
That's the whole thing. There are games based on Hatsune Miku, like it's a character with merch and everything.
Yeah.
I find the entire endeavor just to be a little bit bleak, but
it's rough.
Yeah.
You know, it is rough to me.
Yeah.
People just being like way, way, way into it.
Mm-hmm.
I find that strange.
Yeah. You can find the character design aesthetically, you know, whatever it can be your thing, but just as an endeavor, like basically my take on this is like, it's taking somebody's job.
There's a labor rights issue to both the Noid and Hatsune Miku. One of the things we talked about the Noid, when we talked about Yonoid and we talked about the character and like the guy who thought he was making fun of him and stuff.
Yeah.
Old podcast hat. I don't think we talked about the idea that who is going to get blamed for those pizzas. Because the Noid doesn't exist officially. So if that were to happen, like he's basically taking jobs. Like,
yeah.
You know, they had their 30 minutes or less guarantee or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
People were losing paycheck.
Yeah. That was, they had a body count, whether directly. Yeah,
several body count. In addition to being responsible for that Domino's pizza being taken over by a guy.
Uh-huh.
Like the Noid has done a lot.
Yeah. The Noid has some answering to do.
Yeah. And Hatsune Miku is a scab.
Yep.
Like we don't need to create people.
No.
My anti-natalist stance. We certainly don't need to create AI Vocaloid people.
Yeah. I'm not going to say we have too many people in the country or whatever, but we should probably, we should just generally worldwide use the people we have. There's plenty of talent out there.
Eat the food on your plate.
Yeah.
You know, just kind of in a general sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's strange. The fandom of Hatsune Miku is interesting. We're recording later this week. We're recording out mouthwashing, and mouthwashing has a fandom.
Yes.
In a way that's kind of wild. Are you familiar with that?
I am familiar with it. I don't understand it.
It's really strange. Like, I'll probably talk about it a little bit in the episode, but like that was a pet obsession of mine for a couple of days after I beat the game.
Yeah. Cause like, you go and look it up and you find out like, people
ship these two characters.
Uh huh.
Like,
They ship these two characters that spoiler.
In the story about spoiler.
Uh-huh.
Like, and they're just like, what if this character was gay and would they have me? And they're the victim of spoiler?
Yeah.
The whole thing is about their trauma from spoiler?
Yeah, yeah.
You know? Huh. And then like, me and Liv, you know, when we're watching YouTube slot.
Yeah, yeah.
YouTube served us a cosplay compilation.
Okay.
From a recent con. And like, you know, we put it on, not proud of it. But I kept seeing mouthwashing cosplay.
Huh.
And not just like, you know, the main characters of it. You know, like, oh, it's the fat mechanic from mouthwashing. Huh. Okay.
You know, somebody going to Swansea? Just a guy in a yellow shirt?
Yeah. Like just there's Swansea in and up. And I'm like, well, that's odd. That is a choice.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Like I could see if you're going as Curly, if you're going as the burn victim, right? That is that is iconic.
Well, then they have merchandise of it because it's, you know, it's great. It's a great image.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I've got a couple. I just went on Etsy, just looking up like stuff related to horror games. I've got little mouthwashing bracelets. Like they've got like a bunch of eye beads. Like there's a big eye bead on it. And then the rest of it and then on the bottom, the together they say take responsibility. Mm-hmm. It's grim. Yeah. I love it.
It's very grim. It doesn't light your fandom up.
Mm. What do you mean?
Oh, it doesn't make you want to, you know, you're taking grimness from this, not like what are the romantic possibilities that are shown off screen.
Right. No, yeah. I'm not. I'm not out here looking for holes where fan fiction can go.
Yes. Yeah. Liv and I have a vocal tic that we developed.
Okay. We already have so many.
I know. We get new ones because they roll out.
They do. Yeah.
You know, it has to. It takes a little bit of setup. I've talked about the YouTuber Northern Lion before.
Yeah.
You know, generally a good guy, mm-hmm. ally, people like him. He seems like he's one of the good ones.
I see a lot of like little clips of him. He seems, he's got a way of phrasing things.
Yeah. He's a funny man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not really in the market to watch Let's Plays generally, but I'll watch clips and stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
And he does, there's a thing called Sporkle, which is a website quiz thing and a bunch of different topics. And he does them on stream. And one of them was identifying food. It'll give you a country. It'll show you a picture and you have to identify what the food is.
Okay.
And he's doing one. I think I told you part of this, but it just, I want to tell you how it seeped into our life. He's identifying food. I want to say from like the Netherlands.
Okay.
And everything just looks like a biscuit of some kind. And he just keeps going like, that's bread. This is bread. This is toasted bread. That's bread. That's bread. And like, just keeps putting in dark bread. That's bread. And it's not bread. Of course, it's not called bread, but that's what it clearly is.
Uh-huh.
And there's one of them that looks like granite. And then when he found the answers, that one's called tablet. That's, like, that's tablet. And Liv and I have incorporated that's bread and that's tablet into things. So when we're watching these cosplay videos and something pops up and it's like, this is probably from K-pop Demon Hunters or something that like, I couldn't even begin to guess what this is from. It's like, that's bread. That's bread. And then something pops up. It's like, that's tablet. But it's got a little bit extra on it.
Yeah. Like, when it's like tablet. Slightly more unique.
Yeah. This is tablet. That's bread. This is bread. That's dark bread. That's bread. That's toasted bread. It's really fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean like that back in the day, if we saw a cosplay or something, we've never, you know, we couldn't identify. I was like, oh, that's a Homestuck. That's probably. Yeah.
Homestuck or League of Legends.
Yes.
And now it's Arcane. Like ironically enough.
Weird. Keeps like coming tons back of stuff around. From Arcane. People still patronize Riot. That's weird.
Like in droves. Mm-hmm. Like if, you know, I don't know how much cosplay is to be trusted and how big off, you know, fandom is for real.
Yeah.
But like everything's Arcane.
Mm-hmm.
Like tons and tons of Arcane.
Yeah.
Before I quit Blue Sky, like several of the people I followed were very invested in Arcane. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I believe people when they say it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no familiarity. The only familiarity that I have with the League of Legends is when I did that video, that project, making a video for them with my old company. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even then I only learned as much as I needed to.
Yeah.
I learned a couple of character names, and that was it.
Standard duck feed. It's okay to be interested in the stuff you're interested in.
Yeah. It's just not like, I don't know. It's not my business. I know that I oversay that. That's another vocal tick. But yeah, no, it got nothing to do with me.
Yeah. Same thing with a Hatsune Miku. I don't get it. Mm-hmm. It does feel a little bit labory to me. Mm-hmm. But go with God, robot girl. Like, I don't care that much.
Hard
to care too much.
The most generous thing I can say is that somebody composed those songs.
Yeah.
Right? And they are tickling the fancy of enough people who are fans of that kind of song. Right? So.
Yes.
Cool. It'd be really, I guess, there are songwriters. There are songwriters who don't have, don't need the spotlight. They just write songs.
I was going to say, you want to, I was thinking that too. I was like, you want the songwriters to get credit, but that's old school.
Yeah, that's Bernie Taupin or whatever, Elton John's guy was. Yeah.
Yeah. It happens to this day. Constantly people just will make a song for somebody else, and that's their job. It's weird.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's strange.
Yeah. Unless it's a cover song that really speaks to me, I cannot imagine taking somebody else's words and melody and delivering it as if it was my own.
Yeah. It's kind of like this is getting into dangerously unfunny shit.
Okay.
For the show. but something I've been, in this period of self introspection I've been kind of in recently, thinking about how my values align with expression as opposed to performance.
Yes.
And thinking of expression and performance as an axis.
Mm-hmm.
And it explains a lot about me.
Elaborate for me, please.
The difference between watching an athlete be really good at a sport. Mm-hmm. Versus watch somebody play a song you like really, that you think is a really great song, kind of regardless of how well they play it.
Yeah.
One of which is a unit of expression, which is just something that because of how I'm wired, I respect more.
Yeah.
Than performance. Like somebody can go on American Idol and sing beautifully. Mm-hmm. I don't really care.
Yeah.
Maybe they wrote it, maybe they didn't, but that's just practice. You can practice anything. Mm-hmm. It didn't come from inside them.
Yeah.
Expression is something I value more than performance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a thing that's this permeates every fiber of my being.
Yeah.
It's literally everything I do is filtered through this value. Everything
this is a commonality that keeps popping up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just been weird.
You found a little rubric, a little Rosetta Stone.
Find a little truth, tiny Gary truth.
A little key for Gary.
Yeah. And I think performance versus expression is an interesting axis on which you can look at a lot of things. It definitely applies to video games.
Right? Sure.
When I think about how I am not into hyper demanding character action, or fighting games or something, I want to do a thing the way that I want to. I want to express myself through it.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about expressive play versus performative play. They're just very different things, and genres can have different ways. It's literally an axis I don't hear people talk about.
Yeah. Yeah.
For stuff.
Oh. Yeah. And, there are other expressions of this too, right? Any instrumentalist, you end up there are two camps. It's are you a technician or are you an artist?
Yes.
And not saying that technicians cannot also have artistry to them, but you see that especially in fucking guitar guy wankery, right?
Big time.
Yeah.
Yeah. And of course, it's a spectrum. There are people who are both and do both to different degrees and stuff.
Of course.
As a thing. Yeah. But there's just one of them I just respond to more.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Has more weight.
Yeah. That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not funny, but I'm down to talk about creativity. Yeah.
Okay. I have never been in a less funny period in my life. it's grim shit hours over here. It's real serious times.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No. And it's not just all the stuff happening, because that's not good.
Uh-huh.
Obviously. But it's been hard to be funny, and it's been real easy to say, why the fuck am I like this?
Uh-huh.
And then figure it out and then be like, well, fine.
Yeah.
But nothing happens. You don't feel better. It's just you notice it and like, oh, that's a true thing.
Yeah.
When can I go to bed? Is it early enough? Is anybody not to go to bed yet?
It's reasonable. It is hard to develop bits. It is hard to be funny at all, to experience and be present in the moment when every waking hour is just a constant chorus inside your head of, I gotta get out of here. I gotta get out of here. I gotta get out of here. I gotta go.
I
can't be here. I gotta go.
I gotta go for sure. And there's also like a lot of the stuff that, like previously, a lot of my sense of humor and things I found funny were built around bouncing off of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, having points of reference. For mental health, I've taken a lot of that stuff away from myself, which is good. Like I do feel less sad and I'm wasting less time, but I don't have as much grist for the mill.
Yeah.
You know, of stuff. Like I got to get out of here. There's this feeling of like, oh no, this, you know, failed state. This is pretty bad. Mm-hmm. Let me keep doing memorials for that little guy. That sucks. I hate seeing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That doesn't feel good. And then it's just like, well, and if I turn that off, there's nothing to replace it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, like I'm still like watching stuff and everything, but it's like, it's not as much. I've cut off a big nutrient stream.
Gary, you are basically describing the experience of sobriety.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. And like all sober people, I'm less funny and less fun to be around.
Yeah.
people have gotten sober. I know. Made a huge mistake. I'm kidding about that for any soberites in the audience. I'm sober.
Yeah, no, I just you were describing that, like, oh, I had this thing that used to fill my dates, a thing that used to pass the time. It was a way to, it was a way to turn hours into both fun and also things that I didn't have to remember, time I didn't need to experience linearly.
Yeah.
You know, and then I take that away and there is clarity. There is, you know, definitely, a lot more engagement, but a sense of emptiness and something that you do need to fill. That's the thing. That's what causes people to relapse.
Yeah. Or, you know, hopefully do something cool.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, like trying to figure out, and that's not coding or anything. I mean, like develop a new hobby or something that fills that time. Like I'm still in that working on it phase. In a literal sense of being sober, if you don't drink, do you know how hard it is to fucking kill time?
Oh my God, Gary.
Like me and Liv went to the H.P. Lovecraft Film Festival this last weekend. And it was good. Like plenty of good things and stuff. But they have a really long dinner break during that. Sometimes you don't get into stuff. You know, there's, you have to kill time either in the theater or outside of the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if it's not time to have some food.
Yeah.
And unless you're just going to like walk around the block a bunch. Mm-hmm. Like that's what bars are for.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're not in a hurry. We can sit here. We can drink this. We're working towards something. We're feeling good.
Yeah. Yeah. If you don't drink, it's like very difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did think about, because I don't have Blue Sky or Twitter anymore.
Uh-huh.
If two women are talking about sauce and there's not a man there, they've passed the bechamel test.
Gary, that is one of the weakest fucking things you've ever said to me.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That is so limp. Oh my God.
If you're ever having a panic attack, you need to just focus on 5 things you can see, 4 things you can hear, 3 things you can smell, and 40 things you can taste. Taste everything.
Okay, that's better.
Yeah, these are Blue Skies I thought of while I've been off Blue Sky.
Yeah, because like of that strategy, I had to like talk somebody through that strategy. Pretty recently.
Taste?
I just what I said was, and one thing you can taste, and I said it will probably be the roof of your mouth.
Hopefully, be the roof of your mouth.
Yeah,
like it's so funny that taste is even included in that.
I know, right?
That's where that came from. I just thought it was funny that you had to taste something. Like shit.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, gum. I can't calm down. Give me a now and later. Now.
Give me a now and later. Hold the later.
Yeah. Have you been working on that one? No. I'm having a hard time.
You've been working on that one. Oh my God.
And then one of the things I thought of made its way into Guppy.
Okay.
So.
Oh, so you're not gonna save it.
It was Sagnito, the Magneto that has power over all the Screen Actors Guild members. But I did it as a character.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. It was a hit.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
My Magneto variants and Magnino, the tiny Magneto. I had a ring to that.
Yeah. Magneto, okay. Yeah.
Magneto is pretty good. And yeah. And Will, to his credit, Will has a running bit where he keeps saying it should be Magneto and correcting me. And okay. He says, shouldn't it be Magneno? And I thought that was very funny.
Okay.
Good,
yeah.
Good callback, good consistency.
Mm-hmm. Do you, are there any other Guppy interactions you want to summarize for our audience in the digest here?
No, that's basically it. You could listen to it if you want. We previewed the pivot. So that's coming.
Ooh, okay. A
couple years. Yeah. We have a lot of monsters to get through.
Good Lord.
Yeah. We're doing one monster at a time. So it's going real slow.
Yeah.
Yeah. We were doing multiple ones in the Monster Blitz, but we're on like Monster Blitz, like part like 212 now or something.
Yeah. No, as part of doing that migration over, you know, bringing everything over to Patreon, I had to retitle everything.
Mm-hmm.
And going in, it was just like, what the fuck? How many monster blitzes?
What's a blitz? We got to go through them real quick.
Yeah, okay. By real quick, I mean a year and a half now.
Yeah, it was only like basically a year and a half left.
Okay.
Maybe a little bit more, depending on how if we slow things down a little bit.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway, it's hard to fucking be funny right now, everyone. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. Rough times. Rough times at the Chuckle Factory.
Yeah. Difficult. Yeah. Probably also why I was harder on this very well-meaning and cute game.
Yeah.
I'm just in a bad mood. I shouldn't take it out on these poor guys.
Yeah, yeah. No, it plays good. There's funny dialogue. I love the sprites for the different pizza ingredient characters. Yeah,
when you pick up pepperonis as a coin, it goes pizza in different pizza. Like voices.
In different kind of pitches. Nice. Yeah, I like that.
Like pepperoni. Like it does that a little bit.
Yeah, I would go out of my way to get those pepperonis because not because I wanted points or collectibles, but because I wanted to hear pizza.
And if you get to the end, it goes Domino's pizza, which I like how it specifies at the very end. That's funny.
Gary, what can they do if they like the show?
I don't fucking know. You can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and give us some dollars if you'd like to hear some more episodes, which I assure you are super funny.
Uh-huh.
Tell your friends about the episodes of ours that are super funny. Leave us range reviews, provided they're nice. That is one thing I thought about with Guppy. Will brought up that Guppy is my highest reviewed show.
Mm-hmm.
And it's in part because it doesn't attract like straight transphobes and like political shitheads.
Yeah, yeah.
But part of it is we say, just leave us a review if it's 5 stars. So mm-hmm. I thought about like rolling that out as a test case.
Oh, so okay.
Leave us a review if it's 5 stars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, otherwise, go with God, I suppose, but...
Yeah.
We'd prefer.
Yeah. You know, take your time, pray, and then come back when you want to rate us 5 stars.
Yeah. Let us know what we can do to become a 5-star podcast.
Yeah.
You can thank us in producing our, helping our produce, help us Gary? In producing our thanker Gwen.
This is not.
Help us in producing our thanker Gwen.
Yeah. This is not the last
record after this.
Yeah, this is not the last thing. This isn't the end.
thank us in recording our producer Gwen.
Somebody broke our boy.
Like absolutely fucked.
Yeah.
Gwen us and our producer.
And until next time, this has been Abject Suffering, where you can use the WASD keys to move around. Try it now.